The Lord has given us all kinds of opportunities. And he's given you all kinds of opportunities too, I know. Sometimes we don't take all the opportunities that he gives us. It's overwhelming, the amount of requests that we get. We were able to help in Arizona quite a bit on the Indian reservation there with Pastor Gary Messick. It's the Apache Yavapai Nation. I built a pavilion on their property with some guys that came out from Iowa. Shortly after that, I re-roofed a roof down in Tucson area, right off the Stagecoach Trail there in the copper country just north of Tucson. Then I did some projects at the Bill Rice Ranch West Branch that's over in Williams, Arizona. I got to build a fun project. I built a rodeo arena, and the stage front, that's kind of a western town stage front where they do their skits, and the Bill Rice Ranch uses animals to do a lot of object lessons in the Bible, according to the goat reacts or the horse or whatever, and they do that from that old western stage front, so that was kind of fun. From there, we headed up for Canada, and some of you that read our prayer letters know we had some trouble getting into Alberta. They did allow us to go for just about 8 or 9 weeks if I left my tools behind and basically told them that I wouldn't do any construction. And so I got to preach each Sunday in that church way up in northern Alberta for Pastor Barclay May, giving them kind of a break or a sabbatical, although they did stay there. And we had a wonderful time. We were planning on going back to do the project when the Canadian government wouldn't let us back in. And we kind of took that as an answer from the Lord to not even try anymore. That was the 7th time that they rejected our application to enter. And that means going back up to the border in Montana from wherever we were in Washington or Utah or Idaho those times. And so after being rejected the next time, we went down to Idaho and helped a pastor there for a few months. Doug Sondergaard is his name. He's with Northwest Baptist Missions, pastoring a church in Shelley, Idaho. And I got to finish their basement and remodel a lot of their house. We gave them 3 more bedrooms. They have 5 kids. We gave them 3 bedrooms downstairs and a bathroom. And that was a real blessing to me to be able to be there in Mormon land. I mean, Shelley's 99% LDS, and they're planting this church that's doing a great job there, being a lighthouse in that dark community. It's a potato capital of the world there in Idaho. Been able to help Jay Sprecher he's in Afton, Thane, Wyoming, and fill the pulpit for him while he was on furlough, and that church actually voted for us to become their next pastor and be an assistant, and Jay would kind of lead us into being the pastor there. And over a period of a few months, after looking for housing there, we believe the Lord closed the door there and opened up this door that I'm going to share with you next. This is my family. They are grown up now. We have added 2. The only blonde there, that's TJ Laycock, and he married Bethany, standing in front of him with the maroon sweater. Bethany's our middle daughter. All the way over on the right side is Colton Lingle. He married Sarah, who is Rachel's twin sister. Both the Laycocks and the Lingles are going to be giving us a grandchild this summer, so we're really excited about that. We know the Lingles are due in February or March, late February, and they have said that it's a boy. The Laycocks, we're not sure what it is, but it's due in June, so we're excited about that. And my son Drew, there standing right behind my wife, he's a senior at Maranatha, getting ready to graduate in May. And last Saturday, he asked a young lady to marry him. So he's getting married in June of this year, out in Florida, of all places. That's about as far away from here as you can get and still be in the United States, you know. Yeah, it is. And, of course, we have Rachel with us. Rachel is our oldest. And then all the way over on the left is our youngest, Caitlin. Caitlin is a junior at Maranatha Baptist University. She is studying special education. And that's our family. They have been part of our ministry for many years now. Do I use this thing here? I'll just use this here. Well, as Pastor said in church, we've made an acrostic out of our name, Serving Missionaries Internationally Through ELPS. And that's our purpose statement, really. Over the years, we've explained our purpose in our name. Serving is something that we should all be doing, using our abilities or talents to serve one another, but also to serve the Lord. Missionaries is a word that, oh boy, the dictionary explains it in many different ways. But a missionary is somebody that's serving the Lord, using their abilities to serve the Lord. Internationally, you know what that means? That means everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. And then through is being a vessel, being used by, allowing that sort of thing. Through helps. And helps is a word that's listed a couple of places in the Bible when it talks about gifts or abilities, the ministry of helps. It basically just means being a shot in the arm, coming alongside of an encourager. So basically, we use our abilities and talents to serve other missionaries or people that are serving the Lord internationally, wherever they're located, being vessels of the Master, using the gift of helps to encourage and be a shot in the arm. We are with a mission agency called Biblical Ministries Worldwide. They're in Lawrenceville, Georgia. We've been with them for since 1998. They've been our sending agency. They are a mission agency rather than a mission board. And so they leave the authority. One of the main differences, I don't know if you know the difference between a mission board and a mission agency. One of the main differences is the authority of the mission board is over their missionary, whereas of a mission agency, the authority is the local pastor. And so our local church has been our authority over the years. So, 28 years now, and continuing in this serving missionaries internationally through helps. And I explained a little bit that we receive phone calls and emails, and as time goes on and our name gets out there and people realize that they get some free labor, boy, the phone rings off the hook. And so many needs everywhere, and the needs are overwhelming. And it's not just construction needs, but I've been called many times to come and spend a couple years to build an auditorium, to be an assistant pastor while we're building an auditorium for a couple of years until they can find an assistant pastor or something like that. A project manager would be somebody that just oversees and hires people to come in and organize the project for some larger projects. Contractors are a huge need everywhere you go, it seems like, in ministry and in the world, in the workplace. Construction workers are at a decline. It's not too, I guess it's looked down on to be a blue-collar worker these days in our culture. There are many spiritual needs, and I get calls and requests many times for filling the pulpit, and over the last 10 years or so, there's been at least a half a dozen churches and maybe more like a dozen that have asked me if I would consider being their pastor. And boy, that's overwhelming. Just thinking about being a pastor, I mean, I love you, brother. I respect what you do. And I'm sometimes very glad that I'm not you. But we have looked into that. And I was ordained 6 or 7 years ago now, with the thought that maybe the Lord was leading me to be a pastor, to take the church, or to be an interim pastor for churches that were without pastors. And the Lord has allowed me to do some of that while we've been doing projects in different places. There is need for Christian workers just about everywhere, and I've been asked if I would lead the singing or be a music pastor, be a youth pastor. Questions come up, do you know anybody that is looking to be a pastor or a youth pastor or that could teach Sunday school or things like that? And so with all of this, the Lord keeps burning my heart to pray that God will send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We know that verse. We get that. But that is today, right now. That's not just 2,000 years ago. There is a harvest out there that's ready, and there's very few laborers. That's an age-old problem. But the solution to the problem is the prayer. We have a solution. I have a solution to that. And so when a pastor calls me and says, what you doing the next, you know, next June? Is there any way you can come and do this? And I'm like, well, I'm booked for the next couple of years, and I would really like to help you. You are a good friend. So my answer would be, I'll pray for you. I'll pray that God will send forth a laborer to you to be able to do that project. Well, in recent years, the Lord has burdened my heart to put more feet to my prayers and teach young men, young ladies to fill those positions. He used Psalm 78, but especially verse 4, to continue burdening me for that, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done, sharing them God. Basically, the message that I preach today, sharing what he has taught me. And in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The reproduction process, reproducing more missionaries, teaching guys to do what we do, teaching guys to do what other people have done in the past, and even new type things, the innovative technology and things like that that hasn't been in the past can be used for the Lord. And we would love to see that. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And I love this part, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Remembering the experience that I have, that's what I'm teaching others, but remembering how I got that experience. The Lord gave me that experience. And teaching others and continuing what we've been doing. So this idea of starting a trade college that teaches construction as well as Bible has been in my thoughts and mind for years. But seems like it's being pushed, becoming more of a reality. Sometimes it's almost like I'm on the front of a freight train and I'm getting pushed in that direction and not knowing, and all the things are going by that, oh, it's too late to do that. Oh, it's too late. I got to get going. And the Lord is leading and pushing in the right, in this direction. So we've started this project, if you will, expansion of our ministry, continuing in the things that we've learned, continuing to be serving missionaries internationally through help, but taking guys with us and teaching them on the mission field. And then it's developed now into this legacy trade college, which will be more of a not as much traveling, more of going with the guys, teaching them there at the school, and then requiring them to go as part of their curriculum, if you will, to a mission field and go with them and teach them on the field as well. What are the reasons for this? Well, I explained that two of them are to meet the needs of the students that want Bible teaching and trade training. There are many that come to me after a service, after we present our ministry, and or at a camp that I'm speaking at or things like that, that teenagers or college students, college age, will say, do you know of any place where I can get Bible training and learn a trade? And where I went to school, Bob Jones University, they shut down their trade program maybe 15 years ago now, and so I don't even know of a place. I learned of a few. They're not quite the same stripe as we are, and both of them are back east. Liberty University is one of them that teaches cosmetology. Crown College is another one that teaches, welding? HVAC and automotive. In fact, Bob Jones gave all their automotive stuff up there in Tennessee to Crown College. Nothing out here, though. So the Lord has been really burdening my heart to see something like this go on, to meet those needs of those kids or adults, if you will, that are looking for an environment where they don't have to put up with the dirty pictures, where they don't have to listen to the language of their professors and have a healthy environment and learn the Bible and doctrine and counseling and things like that at the same time, simultaneously. So this is kind of like a hybrid college, if you will. The other reason is to meet the needs of the missionaries and churches with the graduates, with the missionaries or the servants that are qualified to be able to help those churches. Expanding our ministry to the point where we have others that we can recommend to meet those needs. And the Lord has kind of pushed us that direction. We came up with this purpose statement. In Scripture, multiple times we're told that our purpose is to glorify God, right? Would everybody agree with that? Purpose for the church is to glorify God. And then the mission are ways to glorify God, right? Ways to accomplish the purpose. So our purpose statement is to assist churches by operating a college that provides simultaneous education in industrial arts, Bible knowledge, and liberal arts so that students will be equipped to serve with willing and wise hearts from example and from experience for the glory of God alone. The mission of LTC is to produce servants that God will use to meet the needs of churches and missionaries around the world by using the abilities and talents that God has gifted to them. So the mission is ways to accomplish the purpose. There are so many talented individuals that are not, they would say, are not college material. For instance, a guy like me that doesn't know how to spell. And every time I misspelled a word in college, I would get that marked wrong, even if I knew the answer. Well, okay. So those type of people, this type of person, still has abilities or talents given by God that they need to refine and used on the mission field or used in churches, even lay workers in churches that need a healthy environment. Our burden goes out to them. We see a world where everyone serves as creator, an organization built for Christians to refine and develop any God-given skills, spiritual, manual, and academic. Now, that's pretty broad. I understand, but we're starting small. I'll get to that in a minute. Our motto is every student equipped for service, or just equipped for service. Now, along with this presentation comes a lot of questions, I'm sure. I'm going to try to answer a lot of them, and then if we have time at the end, give you the opportunity to ask some questions. The organization, how is this going to be organized? How you're talking to me, have the ability to build a building, but you don't have the ability to do paperwork and deal with lawyers and deal with, and so how's that going to work? That's a good question. I'm willing to listen to answers. Location, where's this going to happen? The facilities, you have a building? Do you have tools? Do you have facilitators? The teachers, the people that are going to run this thing, how's that going to work? The legality, there's so many things that the state requires and the Consumer Protection Agency and all of these things for a college to even be legal. How are the finances going to work? How's God going to provide? What are your thoughts there? The logistics, so many things that I feel very, very inadequate. You pray for me. I know you do pray for me, but this might help you to know how to pray for me in a little better light. I'm not saying that I'm stupid or dumb, but there is a lot of this type of stuff that I don't have any experience in. But I know that God is leading this direction, and He's putting people together with me to help me through some of these things, and that's what is so exciting for me. The organization, first of all. He's given me a board of advisors. One of the first men that approached me about this, his name is Carl Herbster. And Pastor Herbster and I have talked about a lot of these things. He has started like six different Bible colleges over the years, one or two in other countries. And so he's very knowledgeable about this. There is a man that started a college recently. I say recently. It was in 79, I think it was. Ambassador Baptist College. His name is Ron Comfort. And I've talked with him and asked him questions and been able to get some more modern ideas about things. Tim Meals, one of my good friends from the Wilds, is on my advisory board, and he has dealt with young people a lot, being at the camp, and more college age. He came up with a program called the Camp Apprenticeship Program that teaches young people in kind of a college setting. I have a board of directors. Jay Sprecher is a pastor in Wyoming that, remember I said that church wanted us to come and be their pastor. He is on my board. John Bixby, he was a pastor in Steamboat Springs when the Wilds of the Rockies was there, and he's not pastoring anymore, but he's a contractor, so he's had pastoral experience and construction experience. Andy Del Porto is the contractor that does all of the, did all of the projects at the Wilds in North Carolina. He and I worked together at Grandview Christian Camp in Arizona for 2 years. I got to know him at the Wilds of the Rockies as well. He is on the board. He's just very knowledgeable, very quiet man that loves the Lord, wants to be used by the Lord. And then Seth Davis, he's down in Pueblo, or Ordway, Colorado, but he teaches in a community college in Pueblo. He teaches welding. He's a world-class welder. He graduated from the Bob Jones program that I graduated from, but has developed and continued his education. He's a single man. He's probably, 35, 40? But he teaches specific welds in prisons all over the state and all over the country. They fly him to prisons to teach his weld. He developed a specific weld, but he's qualified and certified to teach welding of gold or platinum or not just steel and aluminum, but he's wanting to help use his abilities as well in the welding fields, but also just very knowledgeable in the education part because of teaching there. And then the last board member, not the last, my wife is my board member too. She's our secretary right now. And there's a finance guy, his name is Brian Blattle. He goes to Berean Baptist Church in Lilburn, Georgia. Todd Savinsky, who was our youth pastor at Faith, is now the pastor there. And he was our finance manager at BMW for 35 years and has just retired from that. Brian is a huge asset to that as well. So that helps with a lot of the organization. Also, my network of contacts, my churches, my pastors, my supporters that have a lot of knowledge that I don't have are helping me to understand some of these things. Location, facilities. God has directed us to Marysvale, Utah. It's a long story. I'll share it with you if you ask. John and Mary Lou Innes have been in Marysvale with a ministry called Christian Vocational Ministries, and he started this ministry about 20 years ago, 25 maybe, to teach young men that were in trouble, maybe with the law, but mostly addicted to substances of some kind. And he would teach them carpentry and construction and teach them Bible. He has a cabinet shop and a large building there that he is wanting to donate to us for this purpose. This building is a huge blessing. Yes, it is old. It was probably built in probably the 1880s, something like that. It was a building that was used for their uranium mines. It was the assessor's office for the uranium mines. But he, Brother Innes and some of his guys have remodeled it a few times, and there's three apartments there for staff to live in, as well as a dormitory. Maybe 8 or 10 guys could live in with the bathrooms and all of that, and then a little bunkhouse off to the side that we could use for more students. There's a huge cabinet shop, 3 garage bays of cabinetry equipment that he's wanting to let us, donate to us. And then there's a horse barn and another garage for automotive type stuff, and then another whole bay that is a classroom that's finished that we can use for the classes as well. We're praying about teachers and people to facilitate. 2 of them, I already mentioned Seth Davis. He wants to be able to be used for block courses. So he'll come out for a couple of weeks and teach welding in a very pointed time frame, like 40 hours of welding in a week and a half or something like that. And then from a distance, oversee some of the practice and things through Zoom and that sort of thing. Caleb McGill is a contractor there in Marysvale. His dad was one of the founders of Red Cliff Bible Camp up in Wyoming. Caleb loves the Lord, graduated with an MDiv from Bob Jones University, but has construction talents and construction abilities. And he wants to use his construction company and job sites for classroom, so we can put students with him and let them have on-the-job training. So those are the first 2, or the main 2, that we will be starting with, Lord willing. I want to cast cosmetology and automotive and culinary arts and underwater basket weaving, and I want a broad range of trades, but we're going to start with these 2, I've been advised. There are others that are praying about the different opportunities. I'm looking at a guy that can teach culinary arts and a lady that teaches cosmetology. She lives over in Grand Junction. Another guy, or 2 or 3 guys that are automotive guys, but that will have to be in the future once we get set up. The legality is a big deal. I've talked with many different lawyers. Christian Law Association, J.D. Gibbs has been an advisor so far. We haven't hired anybody yet. Matt Davis, he used to work for CLA. He's now the CEO of Maranatha Baptist University. He was a lawyer for many years and has been helpful. Corey Faffey is not a lawyer, but more of a CPA and knows the law. And they've been advising us in different areas. The main goal that they have said initially is to incorporate. So we've been trying to do that. And we have to incorporate before we can get the 501c3, which is the federal tax exemption. But in order to incorporate, we have to register with the state of Utah. And the state of Utah doesn't like having colleges come without showing their credentials and being able to teach with somebody that is qualified to teach. And there's just a long list of all this stuff. So we're trying to see about how to do that with the lawyers in mind and all of that. So we'll be praying about that. That's basically, I shouldn't say basically, that is initially what we need to be doing and have been doing this last week, actually, and the last few months, waiting to hear back from lawyers and that sort of thing. Seems like nobody wants to answer the phone these days. The finances is a huge part of things. There's an accounting firm down in Parker, Todd Bright. He goes to Grace Baptist Church of Parker. Just lost his wife last month to cancer, but he is wanting to help us with his accounting firm and wants to keep books and that sort of thing, so that's a big blessing. We're looking at a business plan or a business model using tuition to help pay for things, as a lot of colleges do. They charge a tuition, but also donations and grants and gifts from churches or grants from companies like Bobcat or Kubota or things like that, maybe Bosch or DeWalt. receiving grants and that type of support, as well as starting businesses within the business. So like our automotive program might be taking cars apart and selling the parts online, or maybe having a thrift store with like a thrift store lumberyard type thing, like Habitat for Humanity or something like that, to help fund the programs and put the money right back into that. So it's kind of a hybrid business plan. Boy, the logistics are over my head too. This class schedule, you can imagine having trades and academics and mixing the two and trying to put a schedule together. I'll share a little bit about this in a moment with our partnership with Maranatha. But the guys are, our board members are working on some of this. My wife has been working on this, the catalog and which courses need to be done in order to receive this degree, or which courses need to be done in order to receive this certification in the trade field, or that sort of thing. The application process we're working through, I need to talk to you about your registrar experience because that's something that I don't know anything about, but reminded me. Okay, potential help that we're receiving. This is exciting. Maranatha Baptist University has had a program called the Bridge to Campus for a few years. I talked to them 7 or 8 years ago about this Bridge to Campus. One of my friends, Mike Herbster, down at Southland Camp uses this, where they teach anything that Maranatha teaches, they can teach through Zoom classes online but live. And they're giving us access to that, to be able to partner with them. And so Maranatha would supply all of the education classes, all the Bible courses, all the curriculum for our students, and not only allow them to us to utilize their teachers in that ability, but the financial help that students would receive, because Maranatha is accredited, our students would be able to apply for the federal Pell Grant, the FAFSA stuff, and receive up to $7,000 a year that would go to Legacy Trade College to pay for their housing and things like that because of partnering with Maranatha Baptist University. So that's a big deal. I think that's neat the way the Lord worked that out. The organizational help that we can receive from them is pretty incredible too, just asking questions to a university. How'd you do this, or what do we need to do to accomplish this? They are in Wisconsin, so they don't know the Utah laws, but they are willing to help however they can in some of that, and the technology and that field that I'm illiterate in. It's a different language. The logistics in going through different projects within the project, you know, helping in that area. So Legacy Trade College, if you want to help out, you can go to our website at biblicalministries.org. You click on the project, M-Smith-Legacy-Trade-College. Or you could scan one of these, what are they called, QR codes? One of them is for students who are interested in applying. The other one is for giving. If you want to give a donation to Legacy Trade College, there's a project fund set up with our mission agency. This is the way I do it. I go to biblicalministries.org, click on give, click on projects, and then click on Legacy Trade College, and you can do that. I wanted to share with you before I close the ThinkBible.online. This is another aspect of our ministry that my wife has done for the last over 2 years. She has many followers. This is a ministry to ladies, to encourage them to be thinking biblically. She does a lot of podcasts with other missionaries and pastors' wives and just other ladies, individuals that have been through certain things that have drawn them closer to the Lord, and how they got through it, and what their studies were. And she does podcasts and interviews, and what a weekly blog as well. So I encourage you ladies to go to thinkbible.online. Talk with Stephanie about that. There are some business cards back there. She's also written a book. Stephanie It's called Watching God Work. This is about my Aunt Miriam that was a missionary in Brazil for many years. We have some of those back on the table. I believe they're $15 a piece. But this is a missionary biography about my Aunt Miriam, and we call her my Aunt Jane, but Aunt Jane was my Aunt Miriam's co-worker, and they were single missionary ladies that went to a very primitive Makushi Indian tribe in northern Brazil. And then we also have some of these. Some of you know about the situation with my daughters being born separately. They were twins, and they were born 2 months apart. So they have different birthdays. But Rachel wrote a tract about how they're twins twice. Well, how do you get to be twins twice? Well, they're twins with different birthdays, but then they share the same spiritual birthday because they were saved on the same day at Camp Eden, and thus spiritual twins. So this is a tract about how Rachel came to know the Lord and her sister and how they're twins, and a little bit about cerebral palsy and how the Lord has given Rachel that gift and how she can reach others as well. It is 11:40 according to my time. So my time is up. We're going to lunch with Pastor, and I've been told that I can talk to you for a few minutes before we do that. Be back at the table, and I'll see you in the afternoon service as well. Okay.
Okay. While he stands right here.
The other answer is we are planning to start this fall. I'm starting at the end of August when Maranatha starts. Because of some things that have happened in the last couple of weeks, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk to the board yet about that, we may say we need to wait until the semester, so 2024. And it may be that we wait a whole nother year. But there are a lot of things that have to happen between now and then. But our goal up until now is starting with carpentry construction and welding in the fall of 2023.
Good. Good question. Somebody else, Dave.
Do you already have, some students are waiting to start with you? Do you already have that interest?
That is a good question. I have a list of about 30. The young man that was here this morning, Drayden, was on that list. He helped me with the roof over in Grand Junction last, I forgot to mention that. Last summer. When was that? June? That we were in Grand Junction. But yes, I have a list of about 30 prospective students. I haven't contacted them recently because we need to have information for them. There are going to be a lot of questions, and so we're working on that, getting our website going and all of that to be able to help answer questions. Okay. Good question.
So now, as one of his supporting churches, how are you doing with other churches who are supporting you? Are people staying in there? How's that working? Are people saying, well, you're changing, so
yes.
We support you for this, but not for this?
Very good question. So in June of this year, when we made the step to not be a pastor in Thane, Wyoming, and to start this, the first thing that I was told by Pastor Herbster to do was call of all our supporters and let them know what we were doing. And overwhelmingly, every one of them said, we are on board with this. This is so much you, Mike. We know that you wanted to do this for a long time. You have the heart for this. We can see this happening, and they're on board with it. Now, after that is said, there is one church that has backed out and said, we are not going to be able to support you anymore, and it's kind of a mutual agreement, and that was our home church in Longmont, Faith Point. They're not going to be supporting us anymore. They're not going to be our sending church anymore. But it's kind of a mutual agreement, and they're taking care of us. They are wanting to see this happen. They've said, let us know if we can help with one-time gifts, but basically you don't meet our criteria of what we're trying to do in missions anymore. And so from their missions fund. So we have asked Stephanie's home church in Indiana if they would be our new sending church, and just last week they got back with us and said they would. And so with that said, next Sunday I'm going to be at Faith Point in Longmont to kind of say farewell, but we're continuing a relationship there. They're not going to be supporting us anymore, and they're not going to be our sending church anymore, but I want to thank them for the last 28 years of being our sending church and being a big part of our ministry. And so you pray about that. Some things like that might be a little bit awkward, and I'll trust the Lord to take care of that.
One more question, if anybody has one. All right, thank
Thank you.
Appreciate
My pleasure.
That.